Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Welcome back to She and Her Cocktails and COVID, our final episode of this mini season. Anita, I feel like we've been doing this for about 2 months now.
Time is a flat circle in the COVID era. It has been. It feels like it's been a long time, but it's definitely been like the bright spot of all of these weeks. I feel like I like mark time by who we talk to each week, and it's been really nice.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. And we just are so excited about our final guest of this season, the one and only Charlie Lowry. Welcome back to She and Her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Woo!
Charlie, you were both of our moms. So we did like a recap at the end of the season that we had you on of like just chatting with our moms about their reflections. And both of our moms could not stop talking about you. My mom was like, Charlie and I were soul sisters. I mean, I don't know what to say. There's just something about her. And then she went and bought the buttered rum lipstick for both of us. And Sandra's mom was raving about you. So you are a hit.
Well, happy belated Mother's Day to your mamas.
Yeah.
I'm glad y'all are enjoying everything.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Well, so Charlie, you are a musician and I would say an organizer and a really important voice in our state for the music community, for Native communities. And we're going to talk about all that in this episode. But the way we've tried to start each and every one of these is just by asking our guests, how in the world are you doing?
I feel good. I feel peaceful, relaxed. We got beautiful weather outside. And sounds from all around, birds chirping, you know, notifications coming through.
Just no doubt.
Feeling good.
So, you know, the framing of this mini season has been around the coronavirus's arrival in North Carolina. And we have been asking all of our guests to talk a little bit about how they first came to really be affected by COVID-19, how it impacted their life in a real way. How would you say that that came to be for you?
Well, the first was going to dialysis. I was, you know, still taking treatments 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And when the virus or word came of the virus, really no stories or accounts of anyone close by, but just from afar. They started implementing policies at the dialysis clinic, whereas as soon as you walked in the door, they checked your temperature and gave you a mask. So that was a huge difference. And that made it even more real for someone who is immunocompromised, such as myself. So became more careful of where I went, really just to dialysis and maybe a quick trip to the grocery store, taking the precautions and then going home and staying here. And then I received the call about my kidney transplant.
Take us into that story. I mean, just watching that from afar was so, I was just so cheering for you the whole time and so hopeful that everything went well. So I'd love to hear from your perspective, everything that went down.
Well, I was hopeful that I would get the kidney transplant. For some of your listeners who may not know, I had been on dialysis for 3 years waiting a kidney transplant for an autoimmune disease that I have. And so this would be my second transplant. And I, you know, months prior to COVID happening, had a few people test to become live donors. And for one reason or another, they didn't work out. And so I never lost faith, but I didn't foresee it happening anytime soon. And so I was going about my treatments just as usual to stay alive, and was in the dialysis chair and received a phone call from MUSC down in Charleston, the Medical University of South Carolina. And they called and told me that there was a potential donor who might work out for me. And if that was the case, they would be giving me a call back within 24 hours. And I said, can you give me a call either way, yes or no? And she said, well, if you don't hear from us, then it's more than likely not going to work out. So I still didn't get my hopes up and was just like, okay, well, you know, we'll see. And around 8 o'clock, they called me back and was like, we think, you know, it's going to be a match. We're going to get the organ in the morning. We'll give it one final look to see if everything is okay. And if it is, we want to start your workup, take your blood work, and run a few tests. And if it's a match, we'll do the surgery. And so they wanted me to be there at 6:30. So I was there at 6:30 the next morning.
So did you just get into a car and drive right away that night?
Yes, and spent the night in Charleston. It's about a 2-hour and 50-minute drive. And got there about 1 o'clock and couldn't hardly sleep. But we made it to the hospital at 6:30, and everything moved kind of swiftly, you know, as far as the test and my lab work. And around 10 o'clock or so, they said, we're going to take you back. And they gave me medicine for a nerve blocker and pre-op that was just supposed to make me relax, and it put me under. And the next thing I knew, I woke up about 4 hours later with a new kidney.
Oh my gosh. So do you know anything about the person or
no?
No. Okay.
No. I think to due to HIPAA laws and things like that, I don't think they release that kind of information until at least a year after your transplant. So
that timeline between when you first got that phone call and they said we might have, and when you woke up, was how long?
About 16 hours, maybe.
It's crazy.
3 p.m. to 3 a.m. And then from about 3 a.m. to about 24 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah, about 24 hours. So.
And how did that feel? Like, what was that like for you?
It's still surreal. It's just very surreal how life changes from, it really can change and impact your future from one day to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So
after the surgery, what did that look like? Like, did they have to make sure your body didn't reject it right away? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, some people, when they have transplants, their kidney doesn't wake up right away. So they may still have to have a few dialysis treatments after surgery. Well, I woke up with a catheter with urine in it, so mine started working immediately. And I had good urine output. My labs were looking good. And they began giving me medicine to suppress my immune system. And there's one medicine in particular that my body has a hard time adjusting to. And so I started becoming symptomatic. The first night, it was either the first or second night after my surgery, I started spiking a fever after that they gave me the medicine. And the next day I didn't have an infusion and I was fine. I was feeling good. Started getting up out of my hospital bed and doing laps around the unit, or, you know, not laps, but walking. And they gave me the medicine again, and I started reacting to it. And because I was spiking those fevers, they ended up testing me for COVID.
Oh, wow.
And put me in a room that, a low pressure room.
Yes, I've heard of those.
But that test, woo!
Really?
To me, it hurt worse than the operation.
Did it?
It's just an uncomfortable feeling, you know? I don't know if anybody has described it to y'all, or have you taken the test?
No. Mm-hmm.
It was just uncomfortable. But my test results were negative, and they moved me back to a regular room. After surgery, they want you to leave the hospital after the 3-day mark of having a transplant. So I ended up staying, I think, 4 days. And then I had to spend a week in Charleston after my discharge so that I could come back to the hospital and give labs daily and receive more infusions. I ended up leaving, I think, that Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
There was a moment, I think you were not too long after surgery, and you did a Facebook Live and you sang on that Facebook Live. And I'm just curious about what was going through your mind at that moment and why you were moved to song when you were like, just probably hadn't even walked yet. I don't know how you had the lung capacity to sing at that moment, but it was beautiful.
Well, first of all, it was falsetto. for the most part, that makes a big difference. Now, if I would try to do full chest, no, it probably wouldn't have been as. But I think that may have been that evening. I don't know. It was a totally different experience this time around than the first time I had a kidney transplant. First time I was intubated, I guess, had tubes coming out my neck and had those in for a few days. So this experience, and the first time my surgery lasted 8 hours, and this time it lasted 3 hours. So I went through a lot of trauma in recovery with the first one. But this, as soon as I woke up and, you know, they gave me some pain medicine just to manage and get my bearings, I felt like it was going to be a different experience than the first time around. And I just wanted to let, you know, everything happened so fast in going to surgery that I didn't really tell my family or friends that I was about to have the surgery because I didn't want to get anyone's hopes up or mine. So as soon as it was over, I just wanted to share that, okay, I can tell you I made it through, you know.
What was the name of the song that you sang?
It is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever thy lot thou hast told me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
You know, I love to hear this song at funerals. You know, in death, whatever happens, it is well. Just laying there and coming through the surgery and just being alive and everything working well and feeling good, having enough energy to do that. We could be sitting here today and not here tomorrow. You know, something could easily happen overnight, but in this moment, try to let things be well in your soul.
So now that you are in the recovery stage, you have, I'm assuming, so much more time in your life now, because you were going to dialysis 3 times a week for 5 hours a time or something like that? Long chunks. 4 hours a time. Okay, so 12-ish hours a week you had to be sitting in a chair in a room outside your house. You have that time back now. What has that been like?
Just trying to take it day by day and build my strength up is the main thing, because it's hard for me to do anything without that and without being able to breathe the way I want to and get my stamina, you know, trying to eat better, incorporate healthier foods into my diet. So mainly just trying to become physically stronger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I saw you did a post about drinking more water.
Yes, I just had to take.
And that's, yeah, Charlie has a huge water bottle for our listeners.
Hydromate. It says, keep going. Let's go. A little more. Getting close, and you made it. So, and then it says refill. So
start again.
I refill it to try and get 64 ounces in a day. I've made it a couple of days. Better this time around than the last time. And I can tell that it makes a difference in how well the kidney functions. Mm. So,
And in addition to building back up that strength and stamina through both nutrition and physical activity, and knowing that that's really important, are there other things that you now must incorporate into your daily life to take care of this new kidney that is different than what you were already doing prior to?
I'd say more mindful prayer. You know, just being aware that you're praying and trying to stay focused in those prayers. As soon as I open my eyes in the morning and see the sun, another day, you know, living to see another day. So mindful prayer. Did I say healthier recipes?
What have you made that falls under that category?
Well, sauteing vegetables nicely and making them edible. You know, mushrooms, bell peppers, onions, throw in some garlic, little coconut aminos, and give it a good taste. Mm-hmm. So, what else? I have songs in my head, so I've been trying to finish those songs. A few different ones, and these I'm trying to work on the melodies in my head, so when I might not necessarily feel like getting up or feel like I'm not rested enough, I'll lay in bed and work on these melodies of songs and compose the songs in my head. And so I had a breakthrough with a song that I've been working on for probably 3 months now.
Nice.
And finally got a second verse and kind of the direction that I want to head with the bridge of the song as far as the chords and the melody. So, and I think it's a good song. That's why I'm excited about it. It's called The Hard Way.
Mm. Man, that just sums up everything going on right now, doesn't it?
It can. The song itself is about a relationship, but yes, there's a lot of folks going through the hard way and a lot of folks finding out the hard way during this pandemic.
And have you felt have you been paying attention to how COVID is showing up in your community, or is that something that you've kind of not
Oh, yeah.
Been...
Yeah, just by the way people are going out and trying to stock up and prepare, and you see how people react when there's shortages around, you know, and still how much people need each other and love to be with people, you know, with things being shut down. I just hear, whether it's relatives or friends, just talking about how they're ready to be able to gather again.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I saw you posted something today about supporting Native communities in this moment and reflecting on your own relationship with money and the challenges of finances. And I'd love to hear you talk more about that, because I feel like it's something people, I guess everyone has had to become more aware of how fragile things are for a lot of people, how close people are to not being able to pay bills if they miss a paycheck, and just the fragility of a lot of people's lives in this moment. So I'm curious to hear you reflect a little bit more on that and what you're seeing play out in Native communities specifically right now in terms of impact that this is having.
Well, I have seen folks sharing information about going for food assistance and food banks and people taking advantage of those. And my own personal self, I've applied for several emergency assistance grants, and the grants may cover a little over a month of my living expenses, and it's something that, you know, less worries for me in having to go through recovery as well.
Yeah.
And not being able to play live, really. I could do online streams, but my voice is still not, my voice and stamina, I don't think, are up to par to do a, you know, so kind of feel like I'm in an awkward position. And these grants have helped me to really alleviate that stress.
I give many thanks to the American Kidney Foundation, American Transplant Foundation, Visual Arts Exchange, who created the North Carolina Artists Relief Fund. Also, the Pop Culture Artist Relief Fund, which was created by the Center for Cultural Power and 50/50 by 2020. And last but not least, the Native American Community Response Fund, created by Decolonizing Wealth. This fund is a rapid response fund working to deploy trust funding to Native-led organizations serving individuals and families impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, these funds are growing and encouraging those in need to reach out for assistance. I appreciate the fact that these grants were created by foundations and organizations with strong missions to make positive changes in our society beyond COVID-19. The Center for Cultural Power, for example, is a strategic initiative that convenes, trains, and empowers artists to reshape culture. For me, as an Indigenous woman, that includes reshaping a culture that deems it fit to prey upon Mother Earth and Indigenous communities. With this decrease in traveling, air pollution, a rise in meat shortages, I hope that my home in rural Robeson County will stop becoming a dumping ground for the things that more metropolitan and suburban communities don't want or wish to acquire. Things like pipelines, coal ash sites, liquefied natural gas facilities. The list goes on and has for decades.
Talk more about that, because I remember you said that really early on in this, that like this is kind of a break that Mother Earth needed in terms of how, you know, busy we all are and how much we kind of use our environment just to make consumer goods and make ends meet for ourselves. And it's nice that we're able to kind of stop producing in a way that can heal, hopefully, some parts of the environment. So what are you hopeful about that? And what have you noticed about that?
Well, I just immediately think of what my father was talking about as far as planes, airplanes, and not a lot of planes, and just cleaner air to breathe. And are people really at home, like, stressed out because they can't make that flight? Or are they learning to deal with it and have patience and just thinking about the meat shortages, and do we really need to be consuming that many animal products?
I know. I was just talking to my aunt who was just in Western North Carolina in Ashe County, and she was kind of giving me a report from some of her friends who live up there, and that county had not seen many COVID cases, but they're starting to get them, and they are connected to a meat processing plant in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And I think that, you know, that the example of how rampant COVID is in those spaces kind of underscores some of the ethical concerns that a lot of people have been raising about
before
global consumption of meat products and the environmental impact and the social justice issues at stake there. And so I've thought a lot about that too. And then also, you know, this is obviously a qualitative, you know, observation, but I will say that this has been the most beautiful spring I can possibly remember.
Yes.
The weather, the air has been so clear for the last 2 months. The weather has been spectacular. And I do have to wonder if we are already seeing, if it's that sensitive, if it makes that quick of an impact.
I think it does.
And you know, I say, I've talked a lot about this with friends, but even in my neighborhood where I live, I see so many more people out walking and just being outside. And
I think all of a sudden
we're like, well, thank God we can enjoy this beautiful environment. And it makes you really wonder, well, what are we or are we not really seeing in our ordinary life? I really hope that will be something that we take with us after this and really see it as a lesson that we can carry forward.
Oh yeah. Something's definitely trying to get our attention.
Mm. Yeah.
And teach us, you know, like you're going a little overboard.
Are there things that we've been talking with people about their kind of things that they've been reading or watching or listening to, kind of as you're resting and recovering? I don't know how much kind of brain space you have for consuming anything, but have there been shows you're watching, books you're reading, people who you've been listening to that have been helping you in this time?
Well, my uncle did give me something to read to help me. He felt like I'd have a lot of downtime. He gave me a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
For any That's particular amazing. Reason?
Just to be hip.
Just to really brush up.
Yeah. So I read a couple of pages of that. I need to get back into it. But I've been watching a lot of chefs online.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I'm really getting into all this food. I don't know if it's because I was always hungry while I was on dialysis, or that's when it started. But I've still, you know, it's like I've taken it to another level. I'm trying to experiment more with some of these recipes. But
yeah,
a few folks I follow online: Darius Cooks, Tabitha Brown, Cooking with Aisha.
Tabitha Brown, I just got TikTok, and so people told me to start following her, and she is amazing.
Right?
She's so funny. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, she's from North Carolina.
She is. Yeah, she is.
She is, right?
Okay. Yeah, we got to interview her at some point. Yeah.
Please.
She is great.
She is. I watch Black AF. I watch some Insecure. I've watched some movies, Parasite. I enjoyed that. Been juicing, making fresh juice. There's a guy in town in Pembroke. He has the Juicy Fruit Stand. And he's been having fresh watermelon and pineapples and melons. So I've been trying to get some watermelons and pineapples from him. Fresh strawberries. Strawberries are in season. And I've got a little garden planted outside, a raised bed. Got some cucumbers and bell peppers and tomatoes. Got some fresh mint growing and basil.
Yum.
A blueberry bush.
Maybe you need to start a TikTok cooking account.
I've been wanting to do a video showing how to fry cornbread.
You should. You should. I have started watching this YouTube channel of a woman who moved back to her family's homestead in rural China, and she basically has a cooking channel, but it's beautifully shot. She started this series by herself and filmed it all by herself. There's no narration to it. It's literally just the incredible landscapes of rural China with these amazing mountains in the background. Her family's absolutely verdant gardens and wild forests. And she will pick a single ingredient and prepare it, I don't know, four or five different ways in a single 10-minute episode. She'll take like a bamboo shoot and walk you through the whole process. And she'll do something crazy, like she showed you how she made sweet potato flour. So she would take a sweet potato and walk you through the labor of doing that. But there's no narration. And she lives with her grandmother. So every episode concludes with her just sitting down with a table full of incredible food and her grandmother. And there are all these wild animals. I gotta find the
beautiful.
Yeah, what's the name? I wanna write it down.
Let me find this. Okay, hang on. I'm have to Google this.
It sounds peaceful.
She's also just like a beautiful woman who is out there doing all of the heavy lifting. Okay, so the New York Times did a story about it. This is how I got turned on. The reclusive food celebrity Lee Ziqi, Z-I-Q-I, is my quarantine queen, is the name of the New York Times article. But y'all will love this. It's so calming to watch it. And she has these amazing, like, in one of the episodes, she's in this essentially red cloak. Where she like walks out into the wild forest and harvests mushroom. And she's in this like scarlet colored ankle length red cloak.
Damn.
And I'm like, is this Lord of the Rings? Yeah.
Like, what? I bet it's beautiful.
It's really good. I recommend that. And I've also been watching, gosh, what's it called? It's an HGTV Fixer Upper show. And it's a couple from Mississippi who live in their small town and they flip houses for people. An episode that I just watched, a woman, her budget for buying a house and flipping a house was $75,000. And these people are absolutely genius at how they figure out how to make any space unique and beautiful. So that's also been a very nice mindless thing that I've been watching.
There is something about that stuff right now. Like I never have watched Great British Bake Off or Great British Baking Show or whatever, but for some reason now in this, it's just like, it's so aesthetically pleasing and so satisfying. You like start the episode and then you see all these beautiful cakes. It's just like,
well, I just always hope I learn something from them, you know?
Exactly.
So you want to learn something and maybe try it one day.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I also enjoyed watching y'all's stories on Instagram. When y'all were first setting up and getting your closets right. And I think that was the beginning of quarantine.
But, yeah, it was. Yeah. It feels like so long ago.
Closet is no longer straight, I can tell you that. Well, Charlie, thank you so much for joining us again.
Yes.
Glad we could do it. Thank you for having me. I didn't realize it was your last episode, so I'm honored that you started with me and finished it up with me. Thank you.
Exactly. Yes. So pleased to have you back on. And everyone, can tell us your Instagram handle and where people can find you again.
It's at Charlie Lowry, CharlyLowry. And YouTube, Facebook are the same. Twitter.
Awesome. So you can find her all of those places. You can find all of our episodes and our last conversation with her at sheandherradio.com and our Instagram, sheandherradio. Thank you so much for joining us for this mini season. It has been a blast. It has gotten us through quarantine.
2 months of it.
2 months of it. Yeah, I've been talking like it's over. It's not over yet.
What are you going to do next?
I don't know. I think I might have to do like a book club or something. I mean, I'm not usually inclined to do that because I have a hard time staying on track when I have to do something like that. But I have felt a little aimless lately. So something like that might be nice.
Yeah, we could do a She and Her book club too. That could be fun.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Another facet. I like it.
Many ideas. Much to pursue. Wonderful. Well, thanks again. Bye.